Blog Talk Radio.
Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'ma love you so. From your big round bottom to the top of your boat. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'ma love you so. From your big round bottom to the top of your boat. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. 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 Hey ho, hey ho, hey ho, hey ho, hey ho. Baby, I'm in love with you. Hey ho.
Yeah, when I first saw you eating those dots in that maze, I knew you were no ordinary yellow circle.
Baby, I'm in love with you.
Mean, colorful ghosts will try to stop you, but you just keep on eating those dots, because you will always be Miss Pac-Man, and that is why I love you. Oh, no.
That is funny. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you.
Oh my goodness, I got Twitch what? On like somewhere else, and I heard you just laugh, and it was weird. I heard you laugh a second time. Like, what the fuzzy is that? Yeah, that's how we cuss during the daytime. What the fuzzy is that? All right.
Fuzzy, what the hoolies? What the deuce? Okay.
All right. See what you did there? See?
I know. Yeah, I channeled it from you. Let me know. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's right. We're back. And let me tell you, you have no idea how happy I am to be back.
Oh, babies.
I went over a day with no internet, no games, nothing. You're crazy.
She actually messaged me yesterday and says, this is 24 hours with no internet. I was like, woo, that is serious business right there. You don't.
It is serious business. I was not a happy camper, let me tell you.
You know,
it was bad.
You don't know how to console your people when they say stuff like that. Oh, man, I'm sorry.
Right?
What you want me to do? Is there anything I can do?
And I didn't. I was afraid it was going to last another day, and if it was going to last another day, I was going to be mad.
Can I send a digital fruit basket for you? Is there anything I can do? So sorry. What can I do to help? Oh, man. There is a... What is it? Is it Thursday? Yeah, it's Thursday.
Yes. Yes, it is Thursday, and it's time for the news, and we do have a show tonight, and I will be here for the show.
Oh, God, you know what? I forgot all about our show. That's going to be interesting.
I'm all on top of things. Would you leave me alone?
That's
okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Hello.
It's going to be fun.
It is. Hello to some our peoples out there. We got some new peoples that follow us. Goddess Cashmere, I like your name. Oh, she is such a cutie. Mm-hmm.
Girl, you are so cute.
She is a cutie.
I don't know what that is.
Girl, you are cute.
Girl, you are so cute.
Mm. I got some, this is some days old news, but I actually saw this the other day and on Tuesday, and I was so thrown because I was literally getting ready to sit down and Twitch this for y'all. I'm going to jump right in. Do you mind that, Miss Snow White? Do you mind?
Not at all, because I'm having a fight currently. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm gonna toss you a link to this lovely to the website that makes this game that I'm about to talk about.
Yes.
And they've even got. Well, no, they haven't taken it down. You can click around, I guess, while they watch, so they can see. It's gonna be the mm-hmm. game Cartuga once you get this link. And you guys have heard me talk about Cartuga and do it in my pirate speak. Well, Cartuga is no more.
There it is.
About to get cut.
What's up?
Okay, Cartuga is no more. Inno Games and Ticking Time Bomb Games, who is a developer of Cartuga, they've announced the discontinuation of the pirate MMO Cartuga. Simultaneously, the company's partnership was also disbanded. Ugh. Regardless of its potential for success, Inno Games' growing focus on cross-platform games played a major role in the decision, along with the fact that Cartuga was unable to fulfill high expectations during its recent closed beta, so they couldn't get enough people to play. The development studio Ticking Time Bomb Games will be closed, and all employees offered a shortened application process at Inno Games, so they're going to try to keep them, which is good.
Ooh, good.
Yeah. Hendrik Kleindworth, who's the CEO of NO Games, states about the decision. He says, it wasn't an easy step for us during the recent months. Ticking Time Bomb Games and NO Games have worked hard on the game. Together with Ticking Time Bomb Games, we have come to an agreement. The priority was to have an organized schedule for the studio's closure to keep employees' needs in mind and offer as many of them as possible a position at NO Games. All these things we've managed together. Cartuga had a lot of potential. The exciting setting and high-quality graphics stood out, especially with the closed beta and player feedback showed that it wouldn't fit the company's goals for the future. Now NO Games can focus even more on cross-platform projects currently in development in-house. Two new titles will be announced later this year. Kleindworth further reasoned that thanks to the partnership with Ticking Bomb Games, we've learned a lot that we can apply to future projects. It also strengthened our dedication towards cross-platform titles, which are playable on a number of internet-based devices as the future of NO Games. And currently, they have more than 100 million registered players. It doesn't mean they're playing, but they're registered. NO is one of the world's leading developers and providers of online games, and they are based out of Hamburg, Germany. They are the creators of such games as Tribal Wars, Forge of Empires, and Grepolis. And I am so disappointed.
And what?
Grepolis. That's what.
Say that one more time.
Grepolis. Grepolis. That's how it should sounds like it should be said.
Grepolis.
Grepolis. I'm so sad for them. The game did have a lot of potential, and it was very, very beautiful. It was just confusing as hell. And I said maybe I was tired. You know, sometimes when you play a game and you're tired, you're looking at it and it makes no sense, especially with us here. All of us here tend to like games that require a high level of intelligence because we are super smart chicks. And sometimes when you're tired, you can't draw up on that intelligence. So you're like, I don't know what they're saying in this mission. I'm supposed to collect 5 feet or collect feet of five of the five. What, you know what? I'm going to sleep. So I didn't get a chance to go back into to close beta and see what it was all about, but it was highly confusing. I remember that, trying to figure out how to get my ship out onto the open water so that I could blow some of you all to hell. And I'm sorry.
She's so nice. She's so nice, y'all.
But
I'm just gonna blow all y'all to hell.
I was. They know I'll do it. They know I will. So I'm very sad, but I'm happy that they're trying to keep.
Happen. I know it's true.
I'm glad that they were going to keep some people on. So that's good. I'm just sorry. I hate that. You know what? I feel like it's our fault in a way. Not us specifically, but a lot of larger media outlets don't tend to cover games like this, and we are one of the few. I mean, I think there's like a handful of us that actually lean towards the indies and smaller companies and people, you know, that aren't Call of Duty or EA. And I feel bad. I was like, I was trying to get into cover. We just didn't get to it. So, and I feel like if we had, maybe we would have helped. That's why I twitched that crazy Hot Wings game. You all messaged me yesterday. Really? Did you just put up on YouTube a game about Hot Wings? I did. Because nobody else is going to do it. Nobody else is going to do it. They need love, too. Those smaller companies that make those little games, they need attention and love, and they put in their hard work. It can't just be all about Angry Birds. Am I right or am I right?
You know what? True, you are right. I am so tired of everyone being all up about Angry Birds. There are tons of good games out there. Tons.
Mm-hmm.
Tons. Okay. Get all dramatic.
You tell them, Sally.
That's right. Wait, when did I become Sally?
Just now when I called you Sally.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. I could call you Sally Jean.
Is it my turn?
It'd be your turn.
All right. Okay, this next story, it just flabbergasts me. And, you know, y'all, we haven't been on the air for a while, so we got lots of crap to do, so... This one, I just kind of, like, I looked at the headlines and I went, you know, like, what the heck is going on up in here? So, apparently, unfortunately, very sad, a United Kingdom teen died, okay? Which is very, very, very sad. But apparently, Daily Mail, which I think is a newspaper, is trying to blame the Xbox for this.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Yeah, here we go. As it often likes to do, the UK paper The Daily Mail tries to pin the death of a 16-year-old on, quote, too much excitement, while playing a Sonic the Hedgehog game on his Xbox. I'm going to pause right there for a minute and say, really? The kid got too excited playing Sonic the Hedgehog. Have you played Sonic the Hedgehog? Okay, moving on. In April, I'm not a fan. In April of this year, 16-year-old Jake Gallagher was playing the Sonic the Hedgehog on his Xbox when he became overly excited, triggering an undiagnosed heart condition, claims his mother, Sarah Pyatt. Shortly after the attack, he collapsed and was taken to a local hospital. Jake Gallagher died 2 days later after being declared brain dead by doctors.
Oh, my God.
Pyatt told the Daily Mail that doctors said that her son died from sudden arrhythmic death syndrome. He also suffered from Asperger syndrome, but that didn't contribute in any way to his attack. There's a definite risk in predisposed young people playing video games that causes surges of adrenaline in the blood, Professor Sanjay Sharma of St. George's Hospital in Southwest London told the Daily Mail. In the aftermath of losing her son to an undiagnosed heart condition, Sarah Pyatt joined the charity Cardiac Risk in the Young and is calling for the government to make screening mandatory in young people. We hope Sarah Pyatt succeeds, but it's truly a shame that the Daily Mail is a tragic event to promote their continued effort to blame just about anything bad on playing video games. You know, and it is very sad that this kid died. It really, really is. I mean, I cannot imagine anything more heartbreaking than someone that young dying so suddenly and unexpectedly. But are you freaking kidding me? You're trying to blame a video game on killing this poor kid.
If it was a video game,
how
come it was going to be SpongeBob SquarePants or something. You know?
Exactly.
Anything could have caused
it. And you know what? And you know what I want to point out real quick? I don't see them getting up in arms when a kid dies from too much excitement from playing a sport, which happens all the time. Okay? Undiagnosed heart conditions, that can flare up. He could have been riding a roller coaster.
Yeah.
And that could have flared up. He could have been riding his bike, and it just been a really beautiful day, and him going down a hill on his bike, and it could have flared up. It's an undiagnosed heart condition. It wasn't the video game that did it. It was a surge of adrenaline, and there are many things. In fact, he could have just been around someone he loved, a girl he loved. It could have been his first kiss, which would have been horrible.
Oh, gosh.
By the way.
It could have been his first kiss,
right? It could have been his first kiss, and that surge of adrenaline came into his body, and he could have died. It wasn't the video game. It was the undiagnosed heart condition. Stop putting blame on things that don't have any reason to be blamed. God.
Lord. They just...
angry.
I am not... understand. I feel so horrible for his mother. Instead of trying to blame it on video games, you know, try to help this woman deal with the loss of her child. She's never going to get over that, as it were. But, you know, stop blaming it on the game. Seriously.
Oh.
Did I just give you
exactly.
a link?
Exactly. Okay. Thank you. Exactly.
I gave you a link, right? Yeah.
Yes, you did.
When you get ready, throw that up. So you guys have heard us talk about Oculus Rift. It is not a game. Somebody asked me that the other day. What is this Oculus Rift game you keep talking about? It's not a game. It's not a game.
They got all excited. Is that a new game?
It's Oculus Rift, right? What are you doing it? Nothing. It's a peripheral, darling. It's not a game. But the cool thing is they've been doing some amazing things over at Oculus Rift. You can check them out. Oculus, I think it's Oculus.rv. Is that what it is? OculusVR.com if you want to go over and start looking at getting one. But they... are scheduling a launch of something amazing. You will get they're scheduling a launch of their Oculus Rift headset for PCs next year, right? But they're already planning to bring the peripheral to some other platforms. You will never guess which one. Your cell phone.
I really won't.
Your
what?
Cell phone. Yes.
Seriously?
They said they've already been toying with, you know, the Kinect, the PlayStation Move, and PC, but they really want to move on to mobile devices, namely your cell phone. One of the employees is quoted as saying, he says, I love consoles, but internally we're a lot more excited about where mobile's going to go and being able to plug it right into the next-gen cell phone. He says it's the innovation and how fast cell phones are now improving. He says this is where we'll be next, where we'll be the next Galaxy or the next iPhone compared to where consoles are. Those things are almost doubling every year compared to a console that's just stuck for 8 years. It makes us very excited. You see, there's a lot of improvements that can be made on the hardware side for VR that no one's doing yet because it's a new thing. Even Google Glass has not really stepped up to the plate like everybody was hoping they would, because I was thinking they were going to knock Oculus off the map, but they have not. He said the mobile rate of innovation is going to make a lot of those improvements. His name is Mr. Irby. Hi there, Mr. Irby. He also explained that the company's vague...
That's a cool name.
It is. He also explained the company's vague 2014 target release window, saying there's still some technological hurdles that they need to clear. He says, we don't want to announce any dates because, frankly, we just don't know when it's going to be really ready for the consumer market where everything is tied together. He says, you have the form factor, HD, motion blur needs to be eliminated, so we don't know how long that will take, but it's close. We have an internal prototype, which have a lot of each thing solved, and it's a magical experience when you see it all together. Irby has said that when Oculus Rift does arrive, the goal is to keep the launch price as close to $300 as possible. Some of you are going, but it's a VR thing, and it's, well, Google Glass is $1,200, so look at it that way. And it doesn't do half of what this
is. Yeah, that's actually not that bad.
Yeah, when you compare it to Google Glass and what Google Glass has been doing, that's a steal. And this one is able to do your games. And I'm imagining if they do bring it to a cell phone, I'm hoping they open up the apps because there's going to be some amazing apps. Imagine now when you have your Oculus Rift and you're touring a city. You know how you have your navigation, your Google, and it goes down the street view? Imagine the street view now with this on your face. And it's pointing out here's a restaurant.
Ooh.
And it's actually interactive. Yes. And it's interactive. There's pizza joint and they currently got $5 pizza and these shoes are on sale over here and there's a GameStop and they having a sale and you got on your Oculus Rift, you see all of this walking down the street. And hopefully it'll still let you see people because, you know, somebody might be trying to mug you.
Has anyone noticed how everything with Corey is shoes?
Look, man, I have a shoe fetish. I have never denied that I have a shoe fetish. And you know I'm picky.
I'm just saying.
You know,
I know.
I still haven't picked out those shoes. I haven't picked. And then my next fetish is purses. And I still haven't picked out the shoes or purse. I got a birthday present, y'all, for Zappos, you know, in April. And I'm still going over the site because it's got to be perfect. You can't just pick up any shoe, just any purse. It's got to be that one. And if you're smart, you can get both, which I saw the other day. Anybody know where I can get a Juicy Couture purse on sale? Just ask. Anybody out there? Preferably pink.
If you do, send us an email.
Yeah, preferably pink. I don't really like pink, but it's just loud enough to be gaudy and annoy somebody else. I need one of those kind of purses. So when I hold it, you're like, God, that's a loud purse. Yes, I know. I'm sorry.
I don't know why you like gaudy stuff, for real.
I don't know either. I love a big, gaudy designer stuff. I don't want to pay the designer price because actually a full-price Juicy Couture purse, not on Zappos, starts at $400, and I don't have it. I would never pay.
I would.
Yeah, but I want one off of Zappos. It'll be on sale, and it'll be loud and obnoxious, and yeah, so I can hit people with it. I want you to see that pink coming at your face. Bam! It's going to have a brick in it. I just want you to know that, but... See, you're in a bad mood today, but I'm actually the one that's violent. See how I'm gleaning it? Y'all didn't know Snow was in a grumpy mood, but I'm gleaning the grumpy off of her, and then I'm sharing it with you all.
Mm-hmm.
I might hit you in the purse with a grin.
That's true, because I've been trying to be nice and calm and not grumpy. And then she's all, I'm gonna hit you in the face. There's gonna be a brick in it.
Oh, you like all it? Right. Don't act like you don't like
Shoot.
It.
I do, because it makes me feel better.
See? I take care of you, girl. I take care of you.
Wait. You do take care of me, girl. I know you do, girl.
Oh, by the way, I did want to throw this into you. Oculus Rift is hiring.
Ooh.
Yeah, they got quite a few positions open, and we're talking all across the board from hardware to software. They need some people in production, customer service leads, talent acquisition lead, art director, information, IT director, communications manager, senior tools engineer, computer vision engineer. So when you're over there at the website, go ahead and check out the careers. I think they're going to do some amazing things, so you probably want to check them out just to try to get on
that. They got any position for a super sexy radio host? Celebrity?
Yes, it's called QA tester.
I can do that there. Mm-hmm.
But I do want to let y'all know you have to live in Irvine, California. They want you in California to do this.
Oh, screw that.
Yeah,
screw
I was already looking through it. A whole lot of us that here and people that we know, all of us are, just by knowing some of your backgrounds, are overly qualified for some of these positions, but you got to be in California. And I can't do California. I'm sorry. I need to be able to breathe and stuff.
I think I would end up stabbing someone the first few
Lack of oxygen
days
will make you angry.
It will. It makes you lightheaded, angry. Mm-mm.
I think I was angry the whole time I was in L.A. Every time I go to L.A., I'm angry. I am, because you can't breathe. You can't breathe.
I can't breathe.
You inhale and you're just angry. It's like, oh, God, I'm tired of standing here at this crosswalk. Oh, I can't stand. Stop standing next to me. What do you mean, push the button? Yeah, so yeah. People in L.A. I'm serious. I was angry.
Don't ever go with her to L.A. Make a note. Don't ever go with her to L.A.
Now, San Jose, I was very nice. You know, it's a nice higher altitude. The air was a little bit better. So I was not angry there. I was very at peace. But L.A., man, I'm telling you, from the time I step off the plane, somebody's going to get hurt. Why are you standing in front of me on the escalator? I should push you down. Okay, I'm sorry. Y'all can get out of topic.
It's just so y'all know, this is not my fault. It is not my fault, I promise. All right, so we've all heard the hubbub about Treehouse making this big fuss about patents and trying to, you know, bully everybody into giving them money, right? Well, apparently there is the Electronic Frontier Foundation and 50 other organizations are all trying to urge Congress to reform the patent system, which they really need to do because this is getting ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Here we go. The Electronic Frontier Foundation, also known as EFF, and 50 organizations have sent a letter to U.S. lawmakers in both houses of Congress urging them to reform the patent system. The appeal urges Congress to deal with abuses of the legal system by certain patent assertion entities, commonly referred to as patent trolls. Treehouse. Treehouse. Sorry, had a little hairball. Treehouse. Okay. The letter also notes that since 2005, the number of defendants sued by patent trolls has quadrupled, and in 2012, patent trolls sued over 7,000 defendants and sent thousands of threat letters demanding everything from settlements to licensing agreements on vaguely worded patents. Treehouse. The EFF estimates that these legal battles cost the U.S. economy $80 billion in 2011, and companies that actually produce products and services paid out an estimated $29 billion in direct payouts. And I guarantee that is why people lose their jobs right there.
Mm-hmm.
An alarming new trend, says the EFF, is that patent trolls no longer target big companies. Small businesses are now the most frequent targets because they're easier to target.
Yeah, they're easier to take down.
Sorry about the commentary. I'm angry.
No, I'm angry.
This is making me angry. Mm-hmm. The EFF letter goes on to praise the efforts of Chairman Lee and Chairman Gudlatte, in seeking comprehensive legislative solutions in the judiciary committees. The EFF also praises individual efforts to deal with patent trolls in the Congress and thinks now is the right time to do something about this problem. And the rest of it is just mentioning all of the organizations that are involved in this. I'll give you a couple. American Gaming Association is one. American Public Transportation Association. It's things that you wouldn't really consider to be like a part of it. They're really trying to push this. The National Restaurant Association. But I guess whenever we're talking about patent trolling, we're talking about not just gaming, but anything. Anybody is liable to be hit by patent trolls. And I'm telling you, it's ridiculous. When companies have to pay billions of dollars in legal fees, that's going to make them have to let employees go in order to make up that money somewhere. And that's why people lose jobs. And it's just because these patent trolls can't think of anything other way to make money rather than just being – I'm trying to think of a nice way to say this without cussing. Jerks. There you go. It makes me angry.
Some of you old school gamers will recognize this reference. Work complete. And for those of you who are like, where did that come from? That will be Warcraft, not World of Warcraft, not the online version, but the original one where your game comes from. Work Complete. I'm speaking of THQ. Their bankruptcy has been brought to a close, sadly. The U.S. bankruptcy judge has approved their liquidation plans. This was brought to a close yesterday in a court hearing in Delaware. According to the report on Bloomberg, the U.S. bankruptcy court, I'm sorry, bankruptcy judge, Mary F. Walrath, stop it, kidney. She's licking my leg. I was waving her away for as long as I could. She needed me to tell her to stop. What is with they licking legs? I do not understand cats at all. She got to go. I need a dog. Walrath gave final approval to a plan that will pay THQ's creditors from the money accrued from the sale of its assets. Official documents sourced by Bloomberg indicated that unsecured creditors will recoup between 20% and 52% of what's owed. The total claims from unsecured creditors amount to around $143 million and $143 million. The majority of the company's assets were sold back in January, which earned them a total of $72 million. A further $6.6 million was made from subsequent asset sales, which included the Darksiders franchise. When THQ went under, it had had a promising release schedule with a number of games almost ready for release, including Metro Last Night, which you all know I fell in love with the commercial for Metro Last Night. From those games hit... with Metro Last Night, and I'm sorry, with the first of those games that hit the market under the guidance of a new publisher, Deep Silver, whom, if you don't know who they are, they made that little game called Dead Island. They said the results have been impressive with Metro Last Night since Deep Silver took over. In last week's sales in the U.S., they were better than Metro 2033's lifetime figure, so it's doing extremely well since it's with a new publisher. So that's kind of hurtful because it's like if we could have just held on a little bit longer, we might have made it. You know, with this one game, might have pulled us out of, you know, pulled us out of debt, but too little, too late. And I have not gotten to play Metro Last Night or Homefront, which is another game that they made. I never played Darksiders. I want to. Snow White is wrong for what she just texted me. So she's got to step away for a second. So I'm going to go ahead and share another one with you. Okay. So Japanese devs, of course, are reacting to the E3 next-gen news. Reactions to last month's E3 are still filtering into some Japanese developers. Today's additions to the pile are coming from the latest issue of a Japanese gaming magazine, Famitsu, also was translated by Polygon, and also reporting is Games Industry International. The Xbox One and PlayStation 4 were the focus of the show last year, but excitement for those systems varied. Level 5 president Akira Hino was excited for both new consoles, but was particularly surprised by the PS4's $399 price point. He says, "I don't think anyone can look at that and think, this is cheap." He said, "Putting cutting-edge PC specs into a game machine that costs a few hundred dollars really brings across how serious SCE is about this generation." He says, "I think the Xbox One is pretty cheap considering what you get with it as well. But with this PlayStation 4 price point, they'll have to do something to oppose that." He said, "Looking at all the new media, it's easy to see how console gaming is still the main entertainment space people work in." He says, "And he can't wait for the next generation to really spread out into the households." Meanwhile, Valhalla Games, Tomonohu Itagaki, Itagaki, focused in on the enormity of the challenge facing hardware makers in the current market. This is in a world where our customers now have their attentions divided by their PCs, their tablets, and their smartphones. Simply having consoles expand on what they previously were isn't going to work any longer. They're basically saying they need you to have a system that reads controller input, makes a screen image, outputs it to the TV. This isn't going to work, no matter how rich the media it's producing is. Seems like every first party is trying to get a feel for what makes a console truly special. Capcom's Ace Attorney, which I absolutely love, Dual Destiny's producer, Motohide Ishiro, said he was excited to see the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 in action, but expressed reservations with what he saw on the software side of things. He says overseas developers showed off a lot of FPSs and third-person shooters that pursued photorealism and endless detail, but as for the gameplay, felt there wasn't much innovation. I have to agree with him. He said, "I feel that I need to keep watching how trends unfold overseas, but continue developing games with an eye for what a Japanese person would see as fun and bring that to the world marketplace." Yeah. Likewise, Sonic the Hedgehog series director Takashi Iizuka was disappointed with the games on display, particularly in how few of them were aimed toward young audiences. Amen. I said the same thing. So, as you all see, our fellow Japanese gamers were not impressed with what happened at E3 either. So this is universal. You developers are going to have to switch some things around. Nagashi said that the Western market has continued to mature in a way, but personally, he says, I felt like its destiny is definitely about to face a transition period. It's going to have to, because I know some of you love your first-person shooters, but we joke here, seriously, you cannot keep playing Call of Duty over and over and over and asking for Call of Duty and demanding that that's all
exactly.
that you get on a console, because it gets boring for the rest of us. I like playing Call of Duty with a certain group of people. If I could get Snow to play, it would probably be infinitely more fun as well. I play a lot with ZQ77, and that's a girl thing that we do. Regular women get together and have Cosmos and watch Sex in the City. Gamer girls get together, have Cosmos and play Call of Duty and laugh. And bitch, did you just shoot me? And type of thing is going on when we're playing. We're having a wonderful time. But
did you just shoot me in the back of my head?
He's like, yes. Or my favorite story. Z and I were playing. We had to rescue the hostages. And you're supposed to go in and kill the terrorists. And we walk in, and Z sprays everybody in the room. Everybody's dead, so we lose the mission. And I said, why did you kill everybody? She said, he had on the wrong colors. His hostage needs to change their clothes. He looked like a terrorist to me. They need different colors. How is the hostage going to change their shirt? You're supposed to save them. So those are the funny things that I have happen in games that are absolutely hilarious. But I can't sit down and play Call of Duty like some of you for hours on end. It is boring. My brain gets bored playing that game over and over. Even when I play with her, we probably do this maybe once every 6 months, and we may do it two or three weekends that month, and then we're done with it for a while because it gets boring. We need some innovation, and some of you are the problem as well as the developers. You keep telling developers, I want more Call of Duty, and they just keep giving you the same game. You're paying the same money. It's like a bad relationship. It is a bad relationship.
It is.
And the Japanese.
It is a bad relationship.
Yeah, and you know it's bad when Japanese people are like, you know what? I'm going to see what I can do over here. That's okay. You can keep that. And that's bad. And we produce, one of the larger consoles comes from our country, which is Xbox. And it's bad. And the Japanese love Xbox. But when they start saying, that's okay, I'm going to make my own games for my people, y'all keep that. It's good. It's good. You don't have Japanese markets, you ain't right. World of Warcraft, another one. Japanese people love some World of Warcraft like nobody's business. If you lose the Japanese people, you're in trouble. And again, that's also why I want to, I need to get back on, really, really hit it hard. I used to do this a lot, but now that we have Twitch, I can do it a lot more and share with you all. Finding games that are not the norm, that are out there different, crazy, because we also play a part in that. We need to show you something different, because developers ain't going to do it, and some of you just don't go look. Lazy bunch of gamers. So we'll find you some good games that you want to play. You were not on the show those mornings. Do you know what Ural gave to me? Was a and this is on Kongregate, I think. It's a version of Pac-Man where you're down in the maze. You can't see. It's not top down. You're actually going around corners in the maze, running from the ghosts and eating the dots. Did I tell you about
that? That is nice.
Yes.
No.
It is a whole other kind of panic because you can't see around the corner and it's dark. It's kind of dark. You know, the light is coming from you because you're Pac-Man. So you don't see the ghosts. So you're like almost up on them. You know, like I turned a corner and it was two of them and they are like, they turned around and I was like, oh! You know, so it was different to play it that way. And also to chase them down and eat them after you eat the pellet. That's probably the only thing I don't like. You can't see the I couldn't tell the difference between the, what was it called, the power pellet? Does anybody remember what it's called, the little power pellet that you eat? I couldn't tell the difference between it and the other dots in the maze. But I started.
I think it was a power pellet, yeah.
Yeah, but you can't avoid it if you see it. You can actually go around. You know, you don't want to eat it. You just kind of want to continue your dots. You can actually avoid eating it without having to go all the way around like you do when you're top down. So that was really cool, and I'm going to try to Twitch that probably over the weekend. Got to see that one. Very innovative and fantastic. Something new. You guys need something new. Anyway, you let me ramble. So since you don't know, it's okay for me to ramble at night, but you're not supposed to let me ramble during the day. We got stuff to tell, got to share.
It's funny. I like it. Okay. It's funny to me. I like listening to you. I'm like, girl. All right. I don't know what that was. Okay, so apparently there was a big Supreme Court case going on between Viacom and former shareholders of Guitar Hero and Rock Band. Former shareholders of Guitar Hero and Rock Band maker Harmonix. So there was this big thing going on, big court case. A Delaware Supreme Court has affirmed this week that Viacom must pay bonuses to former shareholders of Guitar Hero and Rock Band maker Harmonix. The Delaware Supreme Court backed up decisions by an arbitrator ruling in December of 2011 and an August 2012 decision by a Delaware Circuit Court judge. Both of those earlier rulings concluded that Viacom owed $299 million plus interest in earnouts to the individuals who once controlled Harmonix. In its latest fight to appeal the earlier rulings, Viacom argued that Resolution Accountants committed misconduct in its findings, but the appeals court ruled that the claim lacked merit. BDO, which are the Resolution Accountants, did not ignore any relevant evidence, read the ruling obtained by Hollywood Reporter. Rather, it decided that evidence concerning an inventory write-down could not be considered, absent consent of the parties, because that issue was not identified in the original documents governing the scope of arbitration. There was no misconduct, even if BDO's decision on that issue was incorrect. The court also rejected Viacom's argument that the judgment in the case should have been decided by a court and not by an arbitrator. There aren't too many options left for the former owner of Harmonix, save an option to get its case heard by the before the U.S. Supreme Court. Other than that happening, Viacom will have to pay the judgment and move on. So Viacom, shell it out, dude. You know you owe this money. You know you owe the money. You might as well just pay. For real.
I hate that whole partnership dissolved. They really didn't realize that one as much as they could either.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you came on board is when we were saying, why are they not taking this to the max? Why can you not have a whole Harmonix Rock Band goes on tour and, you know, give away some money and tell your ultimate the final competition is you're going to be in Madison Square Garden playing Rock Band to thousands of other gamers, and the winner, highest score, best singer, all that stuff, gets this prize, this money, this whatever, and do that every year. You call it the Rock Band Tour. And, you know, just it's exactly like the game. You just add the element of realism to it. I would have entered. We all would have entered because we know you like to play some drums. Snow.
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
That is the single most fun I've had with you when I turned around and saw you playing those drums and all I saw was hair. And you can't even claim to be strong.
Well, you know, I got into it.
Everybody was into it.
Everybody was having a good old time.
Yes, but
That was fun.
I was not expecting that from you because when we first got there, you were being all reserved and standing by. Then I turned around and I kept hearing, brruh, brruh, boom, 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 looked around and I was like, and my cousin looked at me like, is that Snow Beat? And you were banging your head. I was like, she's looking like my little sister that plays drums back there. That's what she's looking like. See, that's one of those times I wish somebody had a video camera. That was an amazing.
If there was a camera, I would not do it. I would not. I'd be like, why are you doing that? I'm only crazy when the cameras are off. All right, let me do another one real quick.
Go right ahead.
That one was kind of short. All right. Apparently there was this. Okay, well, let me just read it, and then we can talk about it. A PSN account holder who used supposedly ill-gotten PlayStation 3 and Vita trophies that he or she then used to bid on items in Sony's Bid for Greatness campaign. That was not a sentence. That was not a full sentence, guys. Okay, let me go ahead and start this over. There is this account who earned a lot of trophies, and Sony apparently has this Bid for Greatness campaign where you can actually get items by getting trophies, okay, by playing games, obviously. The campaign gives PSN users a chance to bid on one-of-a-kind props originally used by actors in the Greatness Awaits PlayStation 4 trailer that was shown during E3 in 2013 in a special auction. The campaign launched this week and has already been tarnished by accusations of cheating, according to Game Trailers and PlayStation Lifestyle. The way the auction works is straightforward. A person who bids the most gold trophies wins the item, and then those trophies cannot be used again during the auction. To take part in the auction, players need to earn PS Vita and PS3 gold trophies to bid with, but something was off with one user named RedSoxFan95, who had 1,050 gold trophies. He or she was the winner of the first auction for a Killzone Shadowfall costume. Some of the community looked through this user's profile and thought there was something off about how quickly these trophies were earned. Trophy tracking site PSN Profile tweeted that the profile for RedSoxFan95 looked suspicious and accused the user of using illegitimate methods to gain trophies. PlayStation Lifestyle followed that up by closely examining the profile and found that this user had gone from 6,500 trophies to 14,000 trophies in a single day. What? Okay. The gamer card for this individual also showed that RedSoxFan95 earned 8,000 trophies between the middle of November 2012 and January 2nd, 2013. These revelations were enough for PlayStation Digital Platform's community manager, Morgan Harrow, to announce via Twitter that the company would look into this with the teams and will examine. Seriously, you doubled your trophies in a single day? That is not possible.
He's going to have to prove something. I mean, seriously.
Right? That is not... He more than doubled. He more than doubled his trophies in his single day. That is not possible. I don't know.
All right.
He's not sleeping, eating, walking around, going to the bathroom. What? What is going on? For real.
Something, something. All right. Who run the world?
You know we do.
Well, another person that runs the world is Media Molecule Studio Director Sibio Unready, who I just tweeted out. She has addressed the need for more women in the gaming industry in a recent appearance on BBC Radio 4's For Women Hour. I cannot pronounce that. Sorry, BBC folks. That was a little off. She says it's a shame that at the moment we have very few creative directors that are women. This is what she told presenter Jenny Murray. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to start listening to that even though it's in the UK. A lot of UK people listen to our show. I might as well return the favor. Listen to something else she'll do. Since we have a lot of women within the industry who run studios and pack a mean punch, the influence of women within the industry is pretty great, but we need to see them see that on the game design and programming side as well. She argued that women enjoyed visceral games as much as anyone else, this is very true, and explained that she was working with BAFTA to help encourage young women to aim for a career in technology and games development. She also advised people who wanted to make games to start now on an amateur level to help find out what path they want to take. I'm trying, girl, we trying here. She says it takes women working on games for games to change. She says, I know there are all sorts of discussions about where it is now and where it's been, but I'm interested in where it's going, particularly like the type of things we're making at Media Molecule and lots of other studios are making, games which are for both genders and all ages. Earlier this year, she was named, Sibio Henretti, was named one of the UK's most powerful women in a list published by the program. A list also included J.K. Rowling, Victoria Beckham, and the H.M. the Queen. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Awesome. And she's I believe, I want to say Scottish, but the main mic is Siobhan. Is that Scottish? She looks Scottish. She's very pretty, guys.
Siobhan?
Siobhan.
That's not pronounced. That's pronounced...
S-I-O-B-H-A-N, ready? I cannot pronounce it. But she's very pretty, but she looks like she will chew you up and spit out the seeds, guys. You don't want to mess with this one.
She will screw you up. Go ahead. I almost said a bad word.
I see that. I am in agreement with her. We have always had that... we've always said things like that here. I used to make the comment, if we have a whole lot of we have a whole lot of DPS support in gaming as far as women goes. We have no tanks, and we're one of the tanks, and there's a couple others, but we can only take so much damage alone. Somebody could just... even if we got 15 healers, if it's only one tank, that really don't matter. So,
nope.
Some of y'all got it. Y'all get it. You get it, right? I forgot to mention, Media Molecule, if you don't know who they are, was founded by a small troop of people who used to work at Lionhead. Lionhead created Fable, Black and White. So they left and they started this company. You can check them out at MediaMolecule.com. Their website is such that Baby Natrix loves their website. It is so colorful. And she likes colors loud, like her mom. So tons of colors. They're a very fun looking website. Go and check them out. It looks like they're working on some pretty amazing things. I should have given you a link, shouldn't I, Snow? So you can have it up on the screen. I forgot.
Yes, you should.
I'd be sorry. Sometimes I forget. But they have some cute, interesting things. I like the tearaway squirrel one that they have down at the bottom.
Caraway squirrel one? Hold on. It's coming up.
They got a...
Come on, Poogie!
It is so cute. Okay, and they were giving away something where you make a paper squirrel and then you win. I don't know. But yeah, they got some interesting things going on over there.
Oh, that is cute.
Yeah, and it looks like they're also working on Little Big Planet now. Have you played that one? Little Big Planet? Are you addicted? Dude, don't do it, I'm telling you. You can't get away. You can't get away from Little Big Planet. I know some people who look at the game that haven't played it yet are like, that game looks stupid. I'm telling you, it looks stupid, but play it for about 30 minutes and tell me that you can stop playing it. You'll still be yelling that it's stupid, but you won't be able to stop playing it. Oh, my God, I can't stop playing it when I start. Anyway. So that's them. I do want to share another thing that amazing that's happened today. Netflix is coming along rather nicely. They have no competition. They're standing alone. Who's going to step up to them? I mean, even Hulu can't take them on. Netflix has earned themselves some Emmys for their original series House of Cards and their reboot of Arrested Development.
How do they manage that?
I don't know. Other Netflix originals, which I keep hearing great things about, and I'm going to have to find a way to watch it because I refuse to get Netflix, sorry. Orange is the New Black and Hemlock Grove and Lilyhammer. Plus, the company has announced more series for the future, such as Turbo, Fast, and Fast is F.A.S.T., and Sense 8. They've begun making these shows to better compete with the offerings of premium cable channels like HBO and Showtime. So they're taking them on and giving them a serious run for their money. They're also taking on streaming video services like Hulu Plus and Amazon Prime. And now these original series are getting critical acclaim with Emmy nods, which is amazing. House of Cards is especially notable for earning 9 Emmy nominations, including Best Drama, Outstanding Lead Actor in a Drama Series with Kevin Spacey. So if you wonder where he's been, that's where he is. I love the promo picture of him for House of Cards. It's him sitting on the throne, you know, where Abraham Lincoln sits, and his hands are all bloody and the blood's running down the arms of the chair. I love Kevin Spacey, by the way.
Nice. He is scary, but he is one of my favorite actors.
That's
ever.
Why I love him so much, because he's scary. I like the scary guys. they landed Outstanding Lead Actress in a Drama Series, Robin Wright, and Outstanding Director for a Drama Series, David Fincher. If you don't know who David Fincher is, he's the guy that did Fight Club. And I want to say he did the original Blade, the one that was good. Arrested Development, which Netflix brought back from the grave. What happened?
You just said did the original Blade, the one that was good.
Well, the rest of them sucked. He didn't do the rest of them. I mean, you can't do a superhero movie. You either have to do the one and leave it alone, or you need to keep the same people involved in every incarnation so they have that same vision, that same feel, because the next two or three were horrible. Oh, anyway, so Arrested Development, which
Netflix, oh my God, was so bad.
They brought back from the grave for 15 episodes after Fox canceled it way back in 2006. Well, they've now earned themselves 3 nominations, and it was nominated for Outstanding Lead Actor in a Comedy Series for Jason Bateman, Outstanding Single Camera Picture Editing for a Comedy Series, and Outstanding Music Composition for a Series. The Emmys did not open up nominations for web content actually until 2008. So web series have been nominated before, but not for, you know, such esteemed things like Best Drama and Best Actor or Best Actress. So very, very, very nice. Congratulations to you, Netflix. If you manage to pull True Blood over there, and if you manage to pull, let me see, What else do I need? Oh, you know what they should revive is Leverage. That's what you all need to do. Get that. Get that. I'll come over there if you get Leverage. I will. I will. Cancel my HBO. Okay, I'm lying. True Blood is still there. But I will get a Netflix subscription. I probably will get a Netflix.
Dude, I so want to play True Blood. Or
play.
Watch True Blood.
Play, like,
play True Blood.
Like, you got me excited. Like,
I'm gaming on my mind. You know, it does. I seriously have, like, I'm telling you, I really need to start gaming more. It's bothering me.
Yeah, you know, gaming keeps me sane, and when I don't, it's that's when people get hurt. People get hurt, namely myself. I got to get my game on.
True.
I got to do it. Okay, do you have news stories? Are you ready?
I am ready. All right. So we all know, speaking of gaming, we all know how much we hate to have to patch a game on day one. Right?
Oh, good Lord.
Hate it. Apparently, Xbox One did not get the memo. Forza 5, which is one of several first-party launch titles for the Xbox One, will require consumers to connect online at least once before it can be played.
They just can't let it go.
Right? If users buy the game and refuse to connect to Xbox Live for what we assume is a title update, then the game will not be playable at all. A developer working on the game confirmed the news with IGN. Dan Greenewalt, the studio head at Turn 10 Studios, told IGN that when you first boot up the game, we're going to ask you to log in, and when you log in, you're going to get a whole bunch of content, tracks and cars. That is required content to play the game. Greenewalt says that the mandatory day one patch is due to Turn 10 adding content late into the production schedule, though he didn't explain just what content is. You do have to connect the game in order to get the latest drivatars. Drivatars? That's funny. Because we need as many people training them as possible. And so, rather than having just a launch day set that was created by us, every day that people race is going to make the drivatar set that much more accurate, that much more diverse, that much more interesting. All of the cloud and online features make the game far, far better. You know what? Come on, games. If you don't have all the content ready, why the hell are you making it so people have to download? Just don't sell it yet. Seriously.
That's like Oculus Rift earlier said, we're not ready. We're not going to give you a date. I would rather you do that than,
yes.
You know, than just, then stop. Why give us stuff that doesn't work?
I don't understand. I really don't understand why people do that.
I would rather you not work. I would rather not have a working one or have to wait. I would rather have that. Just let me wait. I'm okay. I'm going to complain about the wait either way. But at least when I get it, I know it's going to work. I'm not going to have problems. Think about Nintendo. Mm-hmm. They don't promise you a date. They give it to us when you get it. They tell you, and they only tell you about it when they know they're getting ready to give it to you. Stop. Some of them jump the gun nowadays. Stop it. You don't have to say anything. There's no law that says you have to share with us that you're working on a console, that you're going to put out anything, or tell us, okay, by this date we should have something for you. Don't say anything until it's absolutely fixed, it's ready to go, and then you don't have any problems. People, you know, don't expect anything but what you promise them, and you will deliver what you promise. Because you finished it. It's ready. Crazy bastards. All right. Apple is working on some amazing new things.
What are they up to?
They're working on technology that would allow you to project a movie that you're watching on your iPhone on the screen of a wall and watch it as big as you want and then control it with hand gestures like you do with the Kinect.
Nice.
All I can say is work, Apple. They won the patent today, according to VentureBeat, for integrating built-in projectors into mobile devices such as their laptops, their tablets, and the smartphones. On the same day, the rumors going around that they're going to be acquiring Gesture Technology, or they're going to be buying SimpleSense is the name of the company. Apple secured a patent that also includes using hand gesture to interact with the projected image on the wall, and in addition, multiple people projecting images from their devices could interact together, sharing images and data with each other in a shared virtual workspace, which is much better than having a connect. You are so on your way out. Sorry, Microsoft. Okay, so Apple actually applied for this patent way back in 2010, in February. The idea behind the patent is that the mobile screens are small, so it's hard for you to share stuff. But if you can display it, largely on a wall so that other people can see, and adjacent to other people's projections, it's easy to see what you want to share. And with a simple gesture, even, they say you can transfer it to the other device. So you just imagine, I'm trying to share
like, what's that called? Minority Report, where he's like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Hot. Hot.
Yes. So imagine, Snow, we can now share our porn. I can project it on the wall, and I just slide my hand over, and then it's on your phone. See how it works?
Dude, that is awesome, because I got some – never mind. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Now, the patent covers both clip-on projectors, which they're saying Apple is not their preference to have, but they said it will be integrated. They're wanting to integrate, if they do have to do that, and integrate it with the iPhone or iPad. It would include gestures which would enable image sharing, copying data, manipulating on-screen objects. The assumed resolution of the gesture capture engine would recognize a number of details, even as detailed as your fingers, the orientation of your hand, which means which way is it facing, which way is it turning, taps, multi-connected motions, whether you have you're making a fist or your hand's open, or whether you're using both hands. The technology built with this patent could also sense the shape, direction, speed, acceleration, and or magnitude of your gesture.
That's hot.
Now, the only issue with this is Leap Motion is already shipping something very similar, so we'll see how much more detailed it is than Leap Motion. A particularly innovative portion of the technology described in the patent is that the overlapping sections of screens projected from multiple devices would know that they're overlapping and could be used to align screens or potentially interact in more complex ways. And I tell you what I'm seeing, some gaming, and it's like six of us, and we have created a big projector screen, or you know how you play the racing games and it has a split screen? You can project your own little screen there and play, and they're all lined up. Oh, that would be so hot.
Mm-hmm. I'm just super amazed that they're actually getting that detailed with the technology where they can see what your hand is doing, and they can, like, you can just push it over to another, whatchamacallit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, well, the Kinect is supposed to be able to do that, but keep in mind, again, people, this is not an additional device. This is something you already have. You probably are going to go buy the next iPhone anyway. And imagine when you pick it up, it has this cool thing on it. I maybe would look at picking up an iPhone if they did this. Serious business. I'd be like, I need to have that. I got to have it. All right. We got about 3 minutes left. So we will see you guys later tonight.
Yes.
9 p.m. Central Standard Time. We may talk more about this because there are some other applications that you can do with this you can't talk about during the day because some of you are at work.
Oh, you know what? I am looking forward to that then.
So make sure you are here live and in person. 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we will see you later. Stop it, Kid Matrix.
What is she doing now?
Look at my foot.
Runs my domain, release my pet, and you're gonna feel the pain. Check the scoreboard, do we even got a question? Farming HKs, yeah, this is my obsession. My spirit beats heads and nasty bite like Britney babysitting, it'll leave a thick impression. My tone is alone. Every time I rambo attack, I do it with aggression. Why you so mad? Or just keep to your discretion, cause I'ma take you down, and there is no
No one in the beach got a lock like me. I'm still rockin' lock in the death night free. No one in the BG up the top like me. Cause I got more game than nothing.
Are we done?
We're out.
We're out. Peace out, y'all.